I probably scared the person off.
No, man. You're on the air. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir.
Hi, how
good
are
afternoon.
You?
Yeah. I want to respond to the guy who said that all the businesses in Swan Street belonging to a different breed of people, which is me, because most of the businesses down in there belong to Indians, I would assume.
Mm-hmm.
But I want that guy to know that these people work hard for what they have. No, I'm not an Indian, but I know years ago when I was a little girl, they had an Indian guy who used to come at us. My father had a lot of boys. And he used to bring all of our clothes. And you know, some weeks when he come, he getting a cent. But it didn't stop him. And that's why these people are where they are today. Who black man you know would do that?
You know, I understand the point you're making, but you know something?
Mm-hmm.
Those people were able to get credit
mm-hmm.
from the big stores in Bridgetown.
Yeah.
And be able to go and sell, trust Barbadians with the products. Tell me of a black Barbadian that was able to get that kind of credit from any of them stores in Bridgetown.
You know of any who tried and didn't get it? Do you know of any who tried and didn't get it? Yeah,
You're being ridiculous, though.
No, I'm not being ridiculous.
Yeah, you're being ridiculous.
No, I'm not.
Because we know the realities.
You cannot say.
We know the. I can say. I don't have to call any names, but I can say.
Mm-hmm.
That we know that up to the 1970s and 80s, that hardly any black Barbadian was able to get any significant credit from anywhere in Barbados until courts and those companies came into Barbados and until Scotiabank started giving some black Barbadians loans. You could hardly get, when you went to those stores in Bridgetown and you didn't have cash, as a matter of fact, I know of an instance where somebody went into one of those stores to buy something and the person looked at them and said, I don't think you could afford this. Merely on the basis of the color of the skin. So if you can think that you're going to buy it with cash and somebody can look at you and tell you, I don't think you could afford this, that they're going to give you credit, give me a break.
Sir, I think what you're saying there is few and far between.
Few and what?
Few and far between, that's a Bajan thing.
Let me give you another personal example, right? I was working for one of those companies as a young boy just out of school. And they said to a white colleague, you know, I would like to go to the university. You think that they will give me time off to go to classes? He said, man, yeah, man, go and check, go and ask. I went and asked. No, I was in a job that didn't require me to be in the office for 8 hours because I was doing sales. And I was told in no uncertain terms, no. I went back to my white colleague and said, man, they said, no. He said, man, I had to let you find out for yourself. He said, I white like them. And I saw a property that I could have purchased for a good price, and I asked them to lend me money to buy it. He said, you know what they tell me? We will help you pay your rent. He said, you know, because if I owned a property, I'd move into a different class. He said, so if I white like them, and they're going to lend me money to buy a property, they're going to let you go to university? You got to understand the realities of what happened in this country.
Then is it not the color of your skin?
Is it
because that,
so what?
Because that we have come far from that now, and that will still happen today.
We come far from. Listen.
That will still happen today. You say that we have progressed, and what you are saying there now will still happen today.
Mm-hmm. Tell me something. Have you ever seen one of the same people that you think so highly of?
I think highly.
Wait. Hold on.
As far as I'm concerned, I think highly of everybody, not only that.
Okay, one of the people that you are saying that worked so hard for what they have,
yes,
right?
Yes, they did.
Wait a minute. So we didn't work hard as a black people. Anyhow.
Yes, we did.
No,
that's what I'm trying to tell you.
No, tell me something.
Let me tell you something.
Have you ever seen one of those persons yet? Tell me, or I just gotta say one. How many times have you gone into a bank
mm-hmm.
with these people who because the black people who run these stores in Swan Street don't own the property. They're renting from somebody. Have you ever seen this group of people who control a significant portion of the wealth in this country? How many of them have you ever seen stand up in the line in the bank?
Well, I haven't seen many of them. So what's the reason for that?
All right.
Tell me what's the reason for that.
Well, you work it out.
Huh?
You work it out, darling.
Well, you may not work it out the same way as you. But you can't put down a man who tried.
Nobody is pulling down anybody.
Yes,
it's
you
not
are.
A case of pulling down anybody. All
yes,
we're saying
are.
Is that we believe that as the people who built this country,
yeah,
that we deserve to have a fair break and a fair access to the resources of this country. That's all you're saying.
We have not gotten a fair break, you're saying?
No, we
fair
haven't.
Access.
No, we haven't.
We have not?
No.
You see, sometimes, you know what wrong with Barbadians? Too much pride.
Well, if
too
you
much
think
pride.
So. Well, that's
but
part of our motto.
You think that some people do to work hard to get what they have today? We will go around knowing why kill them for it.
Well, no, I don't want to kill anybody. I don't want to kill anybody. And they don't like to get personal, you see. But I came back.
It took some law to do it.
No, no, let me tell you something. I came back to Barbados in 1979 with a degree from the University of West Indies, right?
Mm-hmm.
I walked the road for nearly 6 months. Could not get a job. You know what I did? I went and get a truck license.
Enough is wrong with
because
that.
They said if I got the most qualified truck driver in Barbados, I will be. But I got a child to feed. So it isn't that the body got prayed. It is that people like to feel. Why should you tell, you drill in the head of a child, look, it is important to go to school, get a good education, because that is going to be the way out of your poverty.
Mm-hmm.
And then when that child does everything that you say it should do, you go to school, you learn well, you qualify. And then you tell him, man, you know, don't mind that you got all that education. I don't think you're suitable for this. Eh? But you could go and do something else.
Mm-hmm.
When you don't see it happening to other people.
So do you think this...
Other people
this,
like who?
But I think what he's saying, it doesn't happen to other ethnic groups in Barbados.
So how does he know that doesn't happen to them? That they don't get treated the same way sometimes as we do?
Well, certainly one doesn't see that. But
how you guys see it?
Look, I remember, I can tell my personal experience. I remember when I went to school and some of these white guys, they weren't that smart, okay? But I remember when we left school, most of us black guys, we went on to community college or some were going to sixth form at Harrison College or Combermere. But these guys then, they went into business. And within 2 years, when we were now finishing our A-levels.
No, Stanker, not that they went into business because they didn't start any business.
They went into the business. No.
They were taken into the business.
They were taken into the business.
Exactly. And you could get in it, though.
No, but exactly. In 2 years' time, some of these guys, they're still not much smarter, but they were the managers. Okay, they were under managers and whatnot. This is something that has been happening for years. I mean, I'm not going to be as dogmatic as Dr. McLean is. He's older than I am. And
who's the person you have there with you?
Dr. McLean. That was Dr. Lamar McLean you were speaking with just now.
Oh, that is him?
Right.
Oh.
So he has a different life experience, you see?
But everybody has a different life experience.
I agree with you. But also, the advantage that I've also had is a range of other experiences of as well, working with other people from other parts of the Caribbean. And I take the position that we have to live and let live. There are people who are industrious, but mm-hmm. and they will work hard and they will achieve very little. Why? Because they don't know how to go about organizing as a group and spending their money. And then the next thing is culture. People who have of the same religion, of a similar culture, and who pray together, and they can organize themselves a little better. And that is something that I've seen in the Indian community more so than the black community. So these are all factors that weigh in as well. But I do appreciate the argument that you were coming with.
Because the Indian community, they look out for each other, but we don't look out for each other.
And I can tell you this right now, and I remember a white guy making the point about black people always stick together. When he said that, right? It was myself and another black person there, and we laughed so hard. He was totally shocked because he thought that black people stick together, but. You know, as I said, it's different perspectives. Anyway, it was a great debate. Thank you very much for calling.
Thank you.
We got to take a commercial break, and we'll be right back to take some more calls because we got a whole full set of calls right here.
I really don't understand why it is that people have to borrow ideas from people. I remember that during the time when I was a senior at school, they had things like the book club and the left book club and the right book club. And the people used to form their political opinions by the book club that they belonged to. And the people who got the books from the right book club, which were a little more expensive from the books than the books from the left book club, used to say conservatism was the only way, because those were the books that they were reading, and they thought that they were very erudite. And we used to have great debates between the right book club and the left book club. And some people who even prided themselves on being liberal used to read these books, you know, by various people. I don't want to recite all the great conservative writers. And they never had any original thought or idea in their own minds at all about political organization, social obligation and political obligation or anything like that, or even about what was going on in their own countries. So that when riots broke out in 1937 in the West Indies, you had people living within half a mile of the centers of ferment, the slum areas and so on, who were even unaware that people were dissatisfied with the conditions under which they were laboring. And a lot of the people who claimed to be political leaders were even more blissfully unaware than some of the middle class and upper class people living in these countries who were not even concerned, but they could tell you a lot about what was going on in England and about Mr. Baldwin and Mr. Chamberlain and people like that, who are really irrelevant to what was happening in the West Indies. Now, when I said, and we have repeated it at the United Nations, I said it in my acceptance speech, that we are not concerned with quarrels which are not of our own making, or foreign quarrels, it does not mean that we are not interested in what is happening in the world. But what we meant was that we were not automatically going to side with one side or with the other, let us say with the Americans or the Russians, because we had some preconceived idea of the rightness or wrongness of any possible contention that might arise during the period of the Cold War or in any debates that may have sprung up in the United Nations organization itself. What we intended to say and what we repeat all the time is that we have to see what is in the interest of Barbados and what conforms to our idea of parliamentary democracy.
And of course, that is the right excellent late Prime Minister Walton Barrow, and this is Earl Barrow Day Special. I'm Sanka Price along with Dennis Johnson, and our guest with us is Dr. Leroy McLean, and he is the former personal assistant to Mr. Barrow. Let's go back and take another call here. You're on the air. Good afternoon. Could you lower your radio and just listen to your telephone? All right, we got another call. You're on the air. Go right ahead.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air, sir.
Right. Yeah, I share your views on the ownership of local institutions. I think that we've had a stock market and we haven't made good use of it. Right, and we have left of the stock market, because the instruments that are traded on it now are only going to be mainly traded by big institutional investors. Right? I think we've lost I think you've been, well, it's probably culture, but we've been slow to take advantage of those opportunities. We're not we're what the theorists call risk averse to investors. And the only hope we have now is if, as a people, we can build our own enterprises and see where we can go from there.
Tell me something. What you're? It sounds like you're a farmer, or at least you got some backyard chickens there, man.
Yeah. Article we met recently.
Okay.
Now, what would you like to see in terms of enfranchisement? You know, in terms of helping Barbadians like yourself, Black Barbadians who are trying to get a leg up to own more of enterprise in Barbados. What would you like to see done?
Well, we got to build our own enterprises, because the big enterprises, one, we are not going to get the opportunity to go after them again, to get a hold of them again. Right. Because the emphasis in business now is to be as big as possible. Don't be a little fish in a big pond, right? Don't try to be a big fish in a little pond. In other words, don't try to grow your enterprise, merge with somebody, amalgamate with somebody, and become big. So we've lost Sagicor, we've lost BS&T, we've lost Braden's, we've lost Mackinac, all the big companies. The Chinese buy it because we don't want to spend money. Right? We prefer to show off our opulence, so to speak. In other words, he got something. He got a Mercedes, he got a mansion, you know, that kind of thing. But not that we have wealth.
But caller, you know, I don't think I'm not trying to blame anyone for what is happening to us, right? I'm not trying to apportion blame, but we must ask the question, why is it this way? And one of the reasons why it is this way is because of the way we've been educated. We have been educated, we are told, I don't know what it is now, or what people are saying to their children now, but certainly in my age group, you're told, get education or get a trade, get a good job so that you can get a pension, right?
Exactly.
So that was our focus, our mindset. So therefore, we were not conditioned to talk about buying shares in businesses or investing. I remember when the shares in ICBL and
National Bank,
Barbados National Bank, were being sold. I was in the Senate, and it was around November of that year that those shares were being put on the market.
Correct.
And I said in the Senate, I said, we are not going to get these shares sold to Barbadians. I said, because there are hardly any Barbadians who are going to buy shares in any business around Christmas time. Right? And I was castigated by one of the senators from the government at that time, who said to me, "Ma, you think Bajans foolish? Bajans are better educated than that." But I knew the culture of our people. That at Christmas time, people looking to get the house done for Christmas, looking to get that done for Christmas, and nobody is going to be thinking, except for a few people who have everything that they want, nobody else is going to buy shares in that business. So you put the shares on the market at the time, not when. If you had put the shares on the market, let's say when civil servants got back pay, you know, and you had some extra money, or at the end of the crop season or something like that, you might get more people now saying, well, look, let me, and not only that, educating the people then. Not just telling them, we're selling shares in this, but educating the people as to what it is that you're really getting into. We didn't do that. We have not been trained, we have not been conditioned in that way. So therefore, when you say that we lose the opportunities, we would have lost the opportunities because we did not have the knowledge. And that's what's happening to us now. So we have to change that.
I have a slightly different twist on that. While I accept what you say, I have a slightly different twist on it.
Yeah.
I thought it was a political... I didn't hear it from you. I heard it from your party leader. Mm-hmm. Right? And I got the impression that he was trying to just oppose for opposing's sake, right? Saying that nobody ain't gonna buy it, right? Nobody ain't gonna buy these shares, right? However, in my own case, right, I had been severed, well, not by a severed, downsized, resized in about the middle of the year, right? And I took all that I got, right? I did put a little something with it from my unemployment benefit, and I invested in both companies, right?
And then you smiled all the way to the bank a few years later.
No, I wasn't smiling. I couldn't smile,
mm-hmm.
Right? I couldn't smile because I think we were... Oh, so should I put it? We were disenfranchised.
Yes.
Right? I'm glad you said that.
And you see what happened today. You see what BNB doing, what Republic Bank doing to me today.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I didn't smile at all. I took my money, but I was vexed, killed
it. But you know, again, right? Ask yourself, how is it that when foreign entities come into Barbados to invest in a Barbadian company, that they always come with the condition that they must own all of the company? They don't come in. Originally, Republic Bank didn't own 100% of the shares of the bank, you know. Originally, they didn't. But then they decided, we want all.
No, that's not... No, let me come in here. I remember when Mr. Arthur sold off the shares. He made the point, it is better to own, I think it's 20% or something like that, of something that is making money than 100% of something that is not making any money. Now,
what about the small shareholders?
Agreed.
That were forced to sell their shares.
Right. But if you recall, when the full sell-off came. Sell-off came. At the time, Republic Bank, they weren't even prepared to buy them because they didn't expect them to be on sale. The guy he was in Ghana, he's the minister now in the government, who's here. I can't remember his name now.
Mariano
Brown. Not Mariano, the guy who's actually running.
Robert Lehunt.
You know, I remember him making that point that, you know, they didn't expect, because...
I don't know how you can say that when... But I don't know if that was a...
You remember that we got about between 70-80% of what we could have gotten for those shares.
Mm-hmm.
Because the government passed it down.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The government passed it down. They wanted foreign exchange. Right? And they're I don't know if you call it cap in hand, right? Right? But they went to the people, and they had to take what they get.
But you know,
they were not sellers. The people were not buyers. They were sellers.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You know,
but the people realized, hey, this is an opportunity, and we can get it. I think, but a lot of people did not come up in the first in the first offer, a lot of people then then think in the shares.
But you remember that, I don't know if it's a provision in the law, but the same thing happened with Cable Wireless shares.
Yes.
Same thing happened with Lightning Power.
Mm-hmm.
Where the minority shareholders mm-hmm. are forced to sell
Bank.
Their shares mm-hmm. once Bank. The person acquired over a certain percentage of the
yes.
company.
Yes.
So what I'm saying is that why do we have this provision? Why is it that if a foreign entity comes in, that they can own part of the business and still allow Barbadians to be shareholders in it, but they must have the whole hog?
And how does that go with virus philosophy?
Obviously, it goes back to...
We can get it on. We can be very can find one more. That
precisely,
want,
that we don't own the country. You know, and not only that, you educate people.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? You send them all over the world. We have Barbadians who are making contributions all over the world. The man who developed the first search engine that now is Google mm-hmm. was a Barbadian.
Mm-hmm.
We have Barbadians working in aerospace and all kinds of things. But we are not seeing when we are in Barbados, we don't feel that we have the talent to do the same things that people who know less than we do will come into Barbados and do. So I'm saying, why is it that we have this kind of attitude within our country?
All right, sir. Thank you very much for your call. Nice. We going on to another call. We got a full slate here. You're on the air. Good afternoon. Good afternoon, you're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air. Go right ahead.
Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Hello?
Yeah, yes, good afternoon. Go on. Just listen to your telephone, not the radio.
Hello, good afternoon. Hello?
Sir, you are on the air.
Oh, I heard another voice, right? Yes, I thought mm-hmm. it was not. The point I want to make here, first of all, I want to talk a few things about Mr. Barrow's legacy.
Mm-hmm.
But first of all, I want to mention something relevant to what you were talking about earlier. Sagicor, right? Now, I have here a diary for 2019 from Sagicor. Now, listen to this. This 2020 national holidays and important dates. Now, this company earns most of its money. I believe it's majority owned by Trinidad. The majority shareholders are Trinidadians and Barbadians, I believe. And the majority, the Trinidad is not the majority owned by Trinidad, I understand. And Barbados has a substantial number of shareholders and so on. Good. But in this diary, do you know that it doesn't mention anything about those important days in Barbados? For instance, in January, it has here New Year's Day, Martin Luther King's Day. And in fact, it has things about Mexico, Canada, United States. So obviously, this diary was published for the people in up north, not for us. But yes, we are.
Was it? No.
But no, this was before. This is 2019. It was This was done before it was bought by the Canadian interest.
In all fairness, not that I'm trying to shield Sagicor, because I'm not, because I hear somebody say I'm an apologist for Sagicor, because you know that they call me an apologist. But I know sometimes these things are done. They shouldn't be done because there's an oversight, bureaucratic oversight. And it is unfortunate that would be, but if we look, I don't know what the 2020 diary looks like. I don't know.
I know you said that was
2019. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I don't know what the 2021 looks like. But if you had a 2020 and it was saying the same thing as the 2019, then you would know it's a trend, it's a habit, and it's not an oversight.
No, but all I'm saying is that the majority of the shareholders are Trinidadians and Barbadians and the policy holders. They sell us policies, come to our house.
And the fact that they didn't really mention most of them shows that, in my view, that it may have been an oversight, a very bad oversight.
Is that how they see us?
I think it's a case where I wouldn't want to misjudge him anyway.
But you want to go on and make another point?
No, I'm talking about it. I don't want to talk about it. I just mentioned that, by the way.
Uh-huh.
Now, I heard someone said earlier that I wonder how anybody in their right mind. I mean, you have to be a downright idiot to say that Mr. Barrow has no legacy. I think somebody said that. I think Dr. McLean mentioned that. I said that there was a person
who said that the Barrow legacy is dead.
Oh, okay, that's a bad joke. Because, in fact, I mentioned Mr. Barrow's name so often, he and Tom Adams. You know why? I can see them every time. Look, every payday, National Insurance payday, when I go to the bank or the post office, I remember Mr. Barrow. Why? Because national insurance. I always ask when I'm in a line standing something, I ask myself, tell me something. I wonder if Mr. Barrow did not introduce national insurance in 1967, what would these people be doing? You know? That goes through my mind all the time. When I see the Hilton Hotel, and I was saddened when I remember I worked at the development board when the Hilton was being built. And you know that's Mr. Barrow's apartment. Built the hotel, Hilton International ran it, and in fact it was opened in 1966. I remember very well. Mr. Barrow. So when I see the Hilton, I see Mr. Barrow. Something else that I remember Mr. Barrow for is one evening, I was then working at the development board at the time, when International Scientific Building was open, and I could see Mr. Barrow addressing the audience up there when that building was open. Ever Barrow. Another thing that brings him to mind every time. I went to Coach Park. And I was driving in the north recently, and I was coming to Spikestone. And something I told the person with me, I remember telling the person this. I saw a large number of children coming from Alexander School, right? I was born in St. Peter. And I remember the days. This is significant. I remember back in the early 50s, my own sister sat at that school about three times. When the names came out, there were about seven children who got into that school, Mr. Price. Seven children. Early 50s and so on, or late early 50s. Seven children. When I saw the large number walking, I even mentioned it to the person. I said, you remember, I could have. And I told this person this. I said, look, this 1957, the number of children, you go back and look at the papers, because the names used to come out in the papers. Seven children were admitted. Look, the numbers walking down here. Mr. Barrow. Many children would not have been able to go to any school had not if his fees were not abolished in 1961. Right? Mr. Barrow. So I can see him, he and Tom Adams, I see them everywhere you go. Every day you can see what the work they did. In fact, for instance, Pine Hill Dairy, the CBC, right? The Scaleful campus, I went to the opening of Scaleful, 1963 when it was open, I went to the opening, sorry, Mr. Barrow. He expanded the opportunities for people to get higher education. And so on. There's so much that the East Coast Road, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's so much to talk about. Look, Mr. Barrow was a visionary. He and Tom Adams. I think they were two great visionary leaders that this country had. And I hope we would one day get somebody like them. Because we're crying up for somebody so again. Because where we are at.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that. I always say, possibly the vision died when Tom Adams died. Because the two leaders.
A gentleman once told me... Sorry to interrupt your caller, but he said to me, you know something about Barrow and Tom Adams? I said, what? He said, Tom Adams openly admires Errol Barrow, and Errol Barrow secretly admires Tom Adams.
But that's quite possible. But to me, and I always say that, for me, I wonder, I mean, this would take a whole day. I mean, it must be a week. To talk about Mr. Barrow's contribution. Mr. Barrow's transformed Barbadian society today. I said to myself, you're all talking about history. How could any child, why they don't teach children, let children know these things? That in 1950, their own parents, even if they sat at the school, could not even get men to the school. That was like totally normal. But this was something that was all over Barbados. Because most of the schools were small. Right? And let the young people know what Barbados was like. So history is important. I agree all 100%. History should be taught to our young people. Let them know where we came from and what this society was like.
Yeah. All right, sir. Thank you for your contribution. I'll take another call really quickly. You're on the air. Good afternoon.
Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you today?
I'm good.
Good. Go right ahead with your contribution.
Good afternoon to everyone.
Good afternoon.
I was wondering if when we have these big companies to be sold, I understand, I can't remember if it's Jamaica or the Bahamas, there's some place like that where you can't come in and buy up like that. It needs to be partly owned by the population. And I was wondering how come Massey and all those big companies were sold off if there weren't any Barbadian companies interested at all. in these companies. This question is to Mr. McLean.
Mm-hmm.
You know of any Barbadian companies that were trying, or did just give up?
It wasn't a case where Barbadian companies were offered. Barbadians were offered opportunities to buy shares, and Barbadians did buy shares in a number of these companies. But there came a time when the foreign interest said, okay, well, we need to have full control of the company. And based on the relevant piece of legislation, minority shareholders were forced to sell their shares to the person who had over a certain percentage of the shares in the business. But as you said, I think that we should have legislation. And I think I heard the Prime Minister hint at that in one of her speeches, where she talked about the Barbadians owning a certain percentage of the shares in some of the new companies, in some of the new enterprises that we're going into.
Mm-hmm.
I think particularly when she was talking about the cannabis industry and things like that, that Barbadians should have a certain percentage of these shares in it.
All right, take another call. You are on the air. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you and your team and the listeners.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, my concern is, right, when I was a little girl, my dad was working at a broadcasting company, and his father said, you're wasting your time. Don't work there. Come into the family manufacturing business. Because his dad was working with his brother, who had a leading company that used to do things that, you know, was necessary for the country. And dad left the broadcasting company and went into the manufacturing company, and they employed people to do furniture. In those days, they used to do wood, was the mahogany was the thing of the day. And my granddad only used to sell furniture to a selected few, because there were certain people who could not afford to buy that type of furniture for that type of price, and he never used to sell, of course, any.
Was he in Culloden Road?
Huh?
Was he in Culloden Road?
My dad?
Yeah.
No, he was in the heart of the city.
Okay.
Right? Yeah. And anyway, the thing about it is, my father said to me, you don't have to do the common entrance exam, you know, because if you don't do the common entrance exam, I can still send you to Ursuline Convent. I said, no, Dad, I won't go to a government school, because I never had the opportunity to go to government school, because I went to a private school. And he said, when you go there, you work for people, right? You're giving them all your labor. When you work for your family, you can make all the profits. And when there's no money, well, you have to accept these things and diverse your products and stuff like that, right? And I was fortunate, you know. And and the thing about here is, you know, when I see some people do not know about buying shares and that type of thing, because the directors usually buy the preference shares, and the ordinary shares go on the open market for the people to buy. And some people are not educated about it, right? When you go to university, you learn all of these things, right? I remember doing a project at university, and I went to a Broad Street jewelry store, and this lady wouldn't even welcome me to give me information. But after I submitted part of the information, it was like, and I had to go to the manager to let her know what was the fine. She said, you do what? I said, yeah. I said, the customer service was lousy, right? And this is not good enough, right? But I'm saying this to say that, right, that people on the whole, whether black or white, right? But white people usually educate the children. You go to school, you learn, because the government say you got to go to school, right? But at the end of the day, I don't want you working for nobody.
Well, Mama, you were fortunate in having someone who could give you that kind of guidance. There are not many of us who had it.
Very true. You're on the air. Good afternoon. Start listening to your radio. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, Mr. Price and Mr. McLean.
Good afternoon.
Mr. Johnson.
Mm-hmm. Good afternoon.
I'm calling you to voice my concern. I heard Mr. McLean talk about people not educated
their children about shares and everything. But I could distinctly remember when the Republic Bank was up for sale, when the shares were up, they were not taken up by Barbadians because they were advised not to. But what I'm saying, if every right thinking Bajan would think about themselves and their future and their children, Barbados would not be in this state today. Whenever shares are up, Bajans are reluctant to spend their money. They prefer to put it in the bank and get interest instead of investing for the future. And that is why we are like this. And another thing, Bajans don't like their own. They do not support themselves. They do not support others. I'll tell you this. If an Indian come in a suitcase today, you see Bajans flocking to buy. The next week, you got a van. And Bajans are going to support. But Bajans do not support their own. We are a black society, and the majority of businesses in Barbados should have been supported by Barbadians. We have educated people, and we have detractors. That when you try to climb a ladder, they are trying to put you down. I'll give you one scenario. I can remember I was a cashier at a supermarket, and this white lady used to come to the supermarket every day and buy what she needed, which was things that Bajans will not really buy because Bajans look at quality, but she was buying things. And she told me one day, she said, you know that black people are like crabs? And I said, what? She said, put 10 crabs in a hole and one said, well, look, I'm tired of down here, let me go up. And you know, now you're going to put him down because they don't want to see him get out. She said, give a white man a gun. And the white man was saying how much he employed. And I took offense for it at that point in time. But I realized that after I studied, I said, it is a fact. I said so to myself. I said, Bajans do not support. All they can do is bad. I thought that's why we are like this.
But, you know, caller, this did not happen because people wanted it to happen, you know. It happened because you're conditioned. You know, when you have people seem to forget that it is only yesterday that we became free. You know, we have been free for a shorter period than we were enslaved and oppressed, right? So if you have a people that were constantly oppressed, it's a matter of survival of the fittest. And everyone wants to think that they have a little advantage, right? So it is a matter of maybe a process of conditioning the person's mind. And this is why Mr. Barrow saw education as being so important for the development of a people, because you can't develop unless people are educated. Unfortunately, we have seen education purely in terms of academics, and as George Lamy said, we have seen education as something to have and not something to use. So we don't look to say, okay, we have learned a particular principle, how do we apply it to make things better? We just are satisfied to know that we know.
Mm-hmm. We take another call. It's 1:48, finish at 2. Good afternoon, you're on the air.
Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm fine.
Hi, good afternoon.
This is Mohammed Nasser.
Yes, sir. How are you doing?
I was wondering when you would call.
I wanted to call a long time ago, but the truth is why I didn't call us. I'm like, yeah, a little puzzled how my people think. I've got some good people including yourself there in this discussion today. I'm coming so I'm a clean and so there can't be no fools in there. And I understand. I didn't realize that. That's not anymore. The producer is Dennis, and I didn't even know that. So I just called it to speak. But this is what I want to say. Why we in Barbados keep worrying about why we are not successful as a people? We are not successful people because we simply do not understand that every human being in Barbados that rich, and they're getting richer and richer in Barbados, get it off of the black poor people. And unless Precisely. Black people spend their money, Black people should be spending at least 75% of all their money with people who look like them. And the next thing, too, is that black people in businesses, although they have to buy things expensive most of the time, they have to find a way to reduce their cost of the price on goods so that black people be encouraged to buy from them. Do not make any sense. We fooling ourselves. There's over 40-somebody years I've been saying this here, that we are making sport with this country and we are losing this country. You see that place down there where Ms. Ram and them have a problem with? When fellas like me and Alombe Montley and Trevor Clark were putting real, and a lot more of us putting real heat in this country, I think it was Plantations agreed to give us that, sell us that property for a spit. You know that a whole group of that fellas get together and not one would buy it? None of us will get together and buy it. Not me, because I put up my money. I didn't want to have to pay money for this too. Then Sir David sees when he was moving from Robert Street, he offered that property there that he was in to us for spit. You know, we sit down and talk to and we still will not buy it. The problem with us is that we got to stop believing that. You know that white people, everyone think about God. Like we always believe that God. No, we know there's a creator. But white people, they don't think about this. They think about money. How to strengthen the position for the future. Black people seem not to understand that if they get a tambourine, and shoot at the tambourine, and go to church and serve, oh, yeah, the Lord saved. You know, he saved. That is the answer to the problems. Black people headed for disaster here. Listen, I want to say this here to black people. You cannot continue to spend your resources with people who don't look like you and expect to be successful. You do not expect to spend your resources with people who don't look like you, and when they become strong, that they're going to associate with you. If they're not associated with you when they're weak, are they going to associate with you when they're strong? The next thing that black people have to understand clearly, that they cannot die. As long, the only race in the world that believes they can die is the black race. As long as you get a woman pregnant or a woman get pregnant for a man, your genes continue. So all the other races in the world work towards the development of their genes that they will never see, maybe 50 generations down. We're the only people that say, nah, nobody left hand for me, so I got left hand for nobody. Nobody do that for me, so I got to do that for nobody. And that is the problem we have. Our problem is not intelligence to develop. Our problem is not understanding that our children will married to somebody else's children, and that 99% of the time they will look like us. When we get that covered, we ain't have no problem. But as long as we believe that we could go have sex with a woman or have sex with a man, and produce a child, and that's all that matters. No, that is your continuity. So you have to support the people who look like you, so that when they move into families, most of them can move into black families, most white people can move into white families, more Indian move into Indian family, so they're on the, more Chinese can move into Chinese family. So they understand that. But black people, the only people who don't understand this, to prepare for the future. Hence, they don't prepare for the present. And as soon as we understand that, we have no problem about it.
All right, man. That's it. Thanks very much for your contribution. We take just one more call before we wrap it up here. You're on the air. Good afternoon. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Good afternoon.
Yes, go right ahead.
Yeah, I was calling to let my voice the Mr. Airbar issue.
Yes, go right ahead.
Legacy as well. Cause the gentleman that was speaking apparently forget about the government houses and the estates and all such like that. Mr. Barra helped that. That black people could work and earn a dollar and afford a nice roof over their head. I remember when you couldn't go to the bank in the 70s and get X amount of money missed every 2 weeks as a government worker. Every Christmas, Mr. Barber lay you 2 weeks money that you could get. Feel like it's Christmas like anybody else. I'm called Bless Mr. Barney Grave. Thanks very much.
All right, sir. And ladies and gentlemen, we were talking here about Arab Barrow Day, the fact that we touched on so many different aspects, Dr. McLean, demonstrates how much this man influenced everything that happened in Barbados.
It's almost someone once described Barbados as you know, that it was like moving from darkness into light, that period from the 60s on. We have had some outstanding Barbadians who have built this country. And one of the skills that Mr. Barrow had was being able to utilize the talents of our people. And we were talking about the insurance corporation and the BNB. You know, before that we had the development bank. Now, Mr. Adams was able to get those institutions started by Barbadians. He didn't have to go and look, bring in anybody to start them. We had the talent here.
Sorry, let me cross you there. One of the interesting points here, and this is the point that David Combs Young was making when he was here about the and you were making as well about the need for people to understand that partisanship in terms can't really come into play with nation building.
No.
Because, and when we talk about the BNB, we're talking about the general secretary, the treasurer, the long-term treasurer
of the Democratic Labour Party. Was the man that Tom
Adams chose. Uncle Harry, sorry.
Harcourt Lewis.
Harcourt Lewis. Sorry.
Right.
I call him differently. Yeah, Harcourt Lewis. Sir Harcourt Lewis. And that is the type of development that we should be thinking of in going forward.
Yeah.
And, you know, when we speak of Mr. Barrow, we talk about terms of building Barbados. I get distinct impression that his philosophy was using the best talent available.
Use the best talent to be had. And use the best talent we had at the time. And more importantly, put things in place to develop new talent.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why I keep telling people, you cannot look at this whole thing of education just as education. It was not an end in itself, but a means to an end. So if we understand the Barrow legacy, if we took time out to understand why this man did the things he did, then we would be able to have a framework for where we go next. Because, you know, people say, okay, well, you have free university education, so what? My thing is, okay, so we have free education now. What's the next step? Right? And I don't think that we have spent enough time looking at what is the next step and how do we get there. I again, you've got to make reference to the present Prime Minister. I hear talking about a number of speeches she has said, what will Barbados look like 50 years from now?
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is the kind of thinking that we have got to have in this country. Not about today. We have to think about the past that brought us to where we are, and in understanding that, form a policy and a clear path for where we are going. Know where we are going. Set the goals as to where we're going, where we want to take this country. Mr. Barrow saw, and you heard it coming out in his speeches, he saw what he wanted Barbados to be. As he said when he came back here in 1950, at 30 years old, nobody was talking about independence, but he was talking about it. And today, we take it for granted. So let us take the examples from our past leaders, our past heroes, the people who have built this country, and go forward, and perhaps you'll see another Errol Barrow one day.
Perhaps. Let's hope so. This is Sanka Price, along with Dennis Johnson, and I want to thank each and every one of you for just being with us and send us your comments via WhatsApp. And we got WhatsApps from America, from Europe, and from some Caribbean islands as well, and also, of course, locals. And we really enjoyed your comments, and we really enjoyed all those who call the show today. Errol Barrow is a colossus, and we need to always remember the great job he did for us. And I hope that today you really appreciated talking and listening about Errol Barrow. Thank you. God bless.
Into your hands, O merciful Savior, we commend the soul of your servant, Errol Walton. Acknowledge, we pray, a sheep of your own fold, a lamb of your own flock, a sinner of your own redeeming. Receive him into the arms of your mercy, into the blessed rest of everlasting peace, and into the glorious company of the saints in light.
Amen.